Welcome to You, Me and the Counselling World, the podcast dedicated to student counsellors and their road to getting qualified and beyond. Today, I'm back with an episode talking about how we thrive on our placements. I'm going to give you some top tips. Welcome back. Hello, good morning. It's early. It's quarter to eight in the... No, it's not quarter to eight, it's quarter to nine. If it's quarter to eight, it really would be early, wouldn't it? Good morning. I'm back. I'm really sorry, everybody. I've been gone for ages again. I can't even believe that last time I recorded it was January and now it's beginning of May. I'm just so unbelievably sorry, everybody. I really enjoy this and I want to find time to do it. So I am here with a very ad hoc episode where I'm not going to edit it at all, except for maybe a few little sound tweaks. But other than that, in terms of the content, it's going to be completely unedited. And, oh, it's a tricky one for me. I've got such a perfectionism streak within me, and I find it really hard to put something out that has, you know, ums and you knows and croaks and all of those sorts of things within the audio. I try not to change the content of what's in the audio when I edit, but I do like to take out some of those kind of filler words here and there. But this one today is going to be raw. We talk in counselling, don't we, about being congruent, so being honest and transparent and genuine. And that's what this podcast episode is going to be today. And I don't mean that the normal podcast episodes are not genuine, because they really are. But this one is just going to be edit-free. And I'm going to do this in the hope that it means that I can find time to upload more frequently for you all, because I do really, really enjoy this. I find just sitting here and looking out over the trees and enjoying the sun as I am today, as it's shining in the window, I just find it a really worthwhile thing to do. And all of your wonderful comments and reviews and support mean so much to me. And when I see the reviews coming in and, you know, you're all so kind in your comments, I sometimes think to myself, how did I find such a big audience? Because when I first began doing this, I honestly had in my mind that if I could just reach sort of six or seven students, that's how many people I honestly thought I would reach, six or seven students, then I felt like I was doing a good thing, you know, like I was reaching the people that needed to hear some of these things whilst they're in this training journey that they're on, because it's super hard, isn't it? This whole training malarkey. It's really, really tough. But actually, this podcast reaches thousands and thousands and thousands more than that. And oh, it blows me away sometimes. And so there feels like a really big responsibility to be here and to be uploading. And I don't mean that that's pressure, because I really enjoy doing this. I enjoy every ounce of this process. But the editing is the thing that drains me time-wise, because it is such a time-consuming process. I mean, it really is. So I'm hoping that by being able to put out something like this that might have a few ums in it, it might have stumbles, it will have me saying the wrong thing from time to time. But let's see how it goes down with you all. So I'm going to need comments from you on this one. There will be a Facebook post put up, and the link to my Facebook page, it will be in the show notes. But please do let me know your thoughts on this. I'm aware that I also sound quite croaky today. It's just been a really hectic time, and I'm actually going away on Friday. I'm going for my lovely sister's hen party in Menorca. So we have been crazy busy. I've been organising a large proportion of this trip, and it's been crazy busy with that and the college and supervisees and clients. So it's just been unbelievably hectic. So I'm tired and I'm ready for having that little bit of downtime and a bit of sun, hopefully, over in Menorca over the long weekend. So yeah, I hope you've all got some lovely things planned. For those of you in the UK, it is, of course, the coronation weekend. So I hope that you've got your sausage rolls at the ready, and you're going to be having a lovely street party or something with your neighbours or friends or family, whatever it is you decide to do, I hope you have the best time. I think we all deserve some downtime, don't we? Anyway, that's enough of me rambling on. Let's talk placement, shall we? At our college at the moment, one of our diploma groups is at that point where they're all either they're on placement or they're thinking about placement. And so I feel like I'm living and breathing placements at the moment. So this feels like a really good time for us to just sort of touch base on it together. And I guess for me to give you some of my thoughts and tips, because I've worked for quite a long time now with supervisees that are in training. And also, of course, through the college, I'm constantly looking at students and how they are getting ready for placement. And I know the little mistakes that people make along the way. I know the big mistakes that people make along the way too. So I want to share some of this with you in the hope that it will resource you. So in front of me, I've got a little list, which I don't normally do. I don't normally have a list, but today I've got one because it's what I'm kind of hoping is that by having a little list, it will keep me on the straight and narrow and we'll be able to talk openly about the topics I've got written down here, but hopefully without creating too many ums or oohs. Probably not oohs, probably just ums. So, right, the first thing that I want to talk about is finding a placement that aligns with your values and how you work. So what do we mean by that? There's no point going on a placement that is pure CBT if you're a pure person-centered therapist, because you're not going to get the experience that you're looking for. You're not also going to get the best out of that experience. And if you hate CBT and they are a CBT organisation, then it probably isn't the best placement for you. So finding a place that understands how you work, they value how you work, and it aligns with your values in terms of what you believe in for therapy, for your clients, for society. Sometimes the organisations have something that just really clicks with us in terms of what they're trying to achieve. And I think that's really important to know. Yeah, that's what it is. We need to know that everything aligns. So they've got our back, you know, they've really got us when we're there on placement, and they really understand how we work and we really understand how they work. So find somewhere that aligns with your values. It might take you a bit longer to find somewhere, but that's okay, because so much of this learning experience and our learning and our growth comes from being on this placement. It's where everything that you've learned in class now falls into place for you. And I think that's really important and really kind of special. So that's the first bit that I wanted to touch base on. The next thing is, from the very beginning of your placement, be really upfront about any paperwork that you need your placement to complete. Most training providers will ask that you have some form of report, usually what's called a 100-hour report, which is done at the very end of your placement, once you've completed your 100 hours. Some organisations or some training providers will ask for more than 100 hours. So it's whatever your course is asking for. You need to be upfront with your placement about that and say that I will need this paperwork from you. Please, can you do this? So it's about, you know, being upfront, talking to them about it. Find out how much notice they need to write the reports. There's absolutely no point at all in getting to the end of your placement hours, hitting 100 hours, and then saying to them, I need you to do my report now and I need it in by tomorrow, because they're just not going to do that for you. You need to ask them how much notice. Some actually say they need 6 weeks to write these reports, which is quite lengthy when you want to get on and get your qualification. So just preempt it a little bit and have an awareness of how many hours you've done. Maybe when you get to, I don't know, maybe 90 hours done, perhaps you could start to have a conversation with them and say, I'm getting quite close now to these reports needing to be done. And just start to preempt it a little bit. Have a conversation with them, you know. We're in the world of counselling here, and it's all about talking. Yet it seems to be that when a placement comes along, people lose the ability to talk to their provider. So to the placement provider, they lose the ability to talk to them. And it's really interesting. They sort of feel like they can't ask for anything, or they feel like they mustn't rock the boat, you know. But actually, it's much better to be honest about what you need, because then that way you'll get your needs met a little bit better. Usually when you're on placement, you will also have some paperwork to do at the very beginning of your placement. Usually it's like an agreement between you and the placement provider, or maybe you, the placement provider, and the college. So there might be some agreements. It depends on the qualification that you're doing, but there's usually some form of agreement that the placement organisation has to be able to sign. And I would suggest doing that at the very beginning. Just get it done before you begin the placement, and then you know that you've got that paperwork under your belt already. And just keep it safe once you've got it, especially if it's hard copies. Just have somewhere really, really safe. And not the sort of safe where you put it away and you forget where it is. Not that sort of safe. But somewhere that you can access, like a folder or a system somewhere. And I would also suggest, if you've got a hard copy of something, taking a photo of it as well, and then backing it up on, you know, onto your iCloud or whatever, so that you've got it safe. That's really, really important. The next thing that I think is really important is sort of crossing the T's and dotting the I's at the beginning. So checking with your placement provider, do you provide supervision? You know, that's a real big subject, and I've done an episode on that already about why it might be better sometimes to pay for your own supervision. So I've done a big episode on that, so that's worth listening to if you've not yet heard it. Check with your placement whether or not they require membership to the BACP or NCS, and whether they've got a particular favourite there that they would prefer. There's no point in going to register with BACP and then finding out that your placement provider wants NCS. It's just going to cost you double the membership fees. So try to be, upfront in asking those sorts of questions. And one of the most important things that people often forget is about insurance. You know, we don't want to be practicing uninsured. So always check that they're going to provide you with some insurance. If they don't, then you will need to get your own. And that's a really, really easy process, actually. It's not too difficult to do that. But you need to check that with your placement provider. Am I covered for my kind of professional liability insurance? So you need to check that. It's very, very important. So now it's on to the thing that I think is one of the most important things in terms of making this placement as smooth running as possible. And it is, when you're seeing your clients and you start working with them, you'll have some sort of paperwork that you need to fill out as you go. Now, this is usually called your client log, something like that, client supervision log sometimes. It depends, again, on your training provider. But of course, somewhere you need to be logging your hours down, of how many hours you've seen for clients. And you also need to be logging your supervision down to show how much supervision you've had, and make sure that you've got your supervision to client hour ratio correct, okay? Never, never, ever, ever, ever leave that log to the last minute. My advice to you would be to, when you write your notes at the end of seeing a client, make it part of your routine to also write in your log. So you write in there the date that you saw your client, usually, whatever the code is that you're using for your client. A little tiny brief description is often asked for about what you worked with and how long you saw your client for. If you just fill that in, it'll probably take you about 30 seconds. But it is absolutely worth it, because I have seen supervisees before that haven't done that process as they've gone along, and it doesn't half create a fiasco. You might think to yourself, well, I know in my diary who I've seen and when I've seen them, but going back through 100 hours worth of clients to try and actually put all of the details in can be really, really difficult. And not something that I would recommend or relish. It's not a fun thing to have to do, actually. And it can take a really long time. Not to mention the fact that often your supervisor will need to sign off every time you've had supervision. So again, don't leave all that to the last minute. If you're seeing your supervisor remotely, then from time to time, see whether you can meet them face to face if possible, so that they can sign off for you. I think, like lots of things in life, it's about just being really kind of organised, I guess, and not procrastinating and putting things off, but just being really aware of, I need to get that done, you know, because I think it feels really easy to think to yourself, oh, well, I could just go through my diary, I know what I've done, I remember. but when you've done 100 or so hours, if not more sometimes, it can be really, really difficult. It's a lot to put into a log. Whereas if you fill it in every time you see a client, it'll take you 30 seconds at a time, but by the end, you'll have a nice, accurate, neat and tidy log. I think that's my biggest tip of all time, if I'm honest with you. I think if you take nothing else away from today's episode, just make that your key point here, right? You've been told and warned. No judgment from me here. It's absolute unconditional positive regard. Unless one of my supervisees comes in and they've done that, right? So, yeah, just bear it in mind. It's really, really important. So the next thing that I wanted to sort of touch base on is think about how much remote work you are entitled or permitted to do with your placement as far as your course provider is concerned. So sometimes over the COVID pandemic, lots of colleges were able to allow their students to do all of their placement hours by remote, so by Zoom or by phone, because obviously the pandemic put a stop to everything. And since then, I feel like it's really one thing that COVID has done for us all is that it's given, I don't know, society, I suppose, something back in terms of being able to realise that we can work remotely, you know, in the day and age of amazing kind of internet connections and fibre and all of this sort of thing and the speeds that we now get. It can provide a fairly reliable service for clients and supervisees. And I would never want to advocate doing all of your hours in that way. But check with your organisation that you trained with. Check with them now how many hours you're permitted to do in terms of remote work. I know that the BACP guidelines are that they would prefer the majority of the hours to be done face to face. But, you know, again, majority, you know, what does that mean? And so really have a look at what your college are asking you to do there, because it might be that if you are permitted to get some of your hours done that way, it can be much easier to fit that in for people that are working and busy. They might be able to do a placement that is, you know, something that you can do after work, you know, from home or when the kids are at school, that sort of thing. So bear that in mind. I think it's really, really worth doing. But try not to do all of your hours like that. I don't think you'll be allowed to do all of your hours remote now anyway. But certainly a mixture of face-to-face and remote works well, so long as your college are allowing you to do that. So you need to check. That's important. The other thing, kind of along the same lines as that, is thinking about the placement in terms of, does it fit logistically for you? There's all very well and good finding a placement that aligns with your values and provide supervision and they're really nice people. But if you can't physically make it fit into your life because you're one place and the placement provider is 30-mile drive away and you're working full-time and you've got children, then of course it's not going to fit in very well. And this can be really quite stressful, I think, if you're... It just doesn't feel like it fits into your life. You're not going to enjoy it. And I've seen people before really get to a place where they start to think, I don't know if I enjoy this work. I don't know if I actually like doing it. And actually often it's not so much about the work itself, but they're feeling frazzled because they're driving a long way or they're really rushing or they're doing a full day in their day job and then they're rushing straight over to their placement. So try to find something that can fit with you logistically. And of course, that fits a little bit in with what I was saying previously about the remote work. You know, if you can get a good balance, that can be a really helpful way of building up your hours, but without needing to travel for all of them and do them all face to face. I hope that makes some sort of sense. The other thing that leads people into going for placements that perhaps aren't quite suitable for them is that it feels suddenly in some training providers and in some groups, as much as we do our best to make it feel not competitive, sometimes it just does, because in a group of people, when some people have started their placement and other people haven't even started looking for a placement yet, it can suddenly feel like you're being left behind. And one thing I would absolutely urge you to do is to try not to compare yourself with other people. I remember doing this when I was training and falling into this trap of comparing myself to people that were much older than me, that maybe worked part-time hours or were retired, whereas I was working and I had a very small child. And I just really struggled to find a placement that fitted in terms of logistics for me, in terms of childcare and in terms of my work-life balance and all of those sorts of things. And I started to compare myself to other people in the group. And actually, those people were a lot older than me. They didn't have a small child to worry about. And they were getting their placement hours done a lot quicker than I was. And I started to feel really inferior at times because it felt as if, well, they're doing really well and I've not got any experience now compared to them. But actually, they say, don't they, and I've done an episode on this as well, comparison is the thief of all joy. So bear that in mind. When you feel like you're comparing yourself to other people, it's not a competition. This road that you're walking on to do this placement and this training is a very personal road. It's not the same for everybody. So when you feel competitive, try not to compare yourself with other people. It's not a competition. You take your time. You get the best possible experience for yourself. And I think you won't go too far wrong. The other thing about placements is they sometimes have sort of team meetings, things like that. If you can attend those, and you know sometimes they are a requirement that you have to attend them, but if they're not compulsory, try to attend them when you can, because it's a really lovely place to make friends and to learn more about the organisation and to just do a bit of networking, really. So when there's team meetings, just try if you can. If you can go, if they're compulsory, then of course you must go. That's different. But if they're not compulsory and they just run them, try and attend as many as you can. I think you will find it really worthwhile. And this is my last point coming up now. And, oh, this is a biggie. And I've done stuff about this, sort of bits and bobs on other episodes. But if you have a supervisor on your placement, or if you're qualified and you have a supervisor that you, even if you pay for in private practice, and they're leaving you feeling consistently underconfident in your work, then really please do tackle that. If you have a supervisor that feels like they're pointing their finger at you, or they're not talking to you with unconditional positive regard, if it feels like they're judging your work, or they're putting down what you've done, or they're not being supportive, or they're not lifting you up and leaving you feeling all warm, then please, please, please tackle it with them or find yourself another supervisor. Because in my experience, it's having a supervisor that isn't right for you. It might not be their fault, but they just might not be right for you. That can be really hard. And from personal experience, it can be so difficult to have somebody putting down what you're doing, and you know, with very little praise, they just put you down and they wear you down. And this is my experience. I got worn down by a supervisor during my placement, and I very nearly gave up. And if I'd have given up, I wouldn't be doing the college, I wouldn't have the most amazing clients and supervisees, and I wouldn't be sat here talking to you all today. So I'm so pleased that I didn't give up, and I now know that this was an issue that my supervisor had, and it wasn't my issue to have. But if you are struggling with something where a supervisor isn't lifting you up, is leaving you feeling as if you're doing a bad job all of the time, then just know that that probably isn't you. That's probably much more about them. And it's something for you to think about tackling. You know, go to speak to your tutors, speak to the supervisor themselves, or take it to personal therapy. Just begin that process of making the change, because I think the supervision is the most fundamental part of your training. Aside from the training itself and the placement, the supervision provides a really important kind of point on the triangle, I suppose. If you think about the college, the placement and supervision in a triangle, then supervision provides a really big part of your learning and your training. And if you have a supervisor that's leaving you feeling, for whatever reason, that you're doing a bad job or that you're not getting it, then you need to really review that within yourself. I hope that makes sense. I'm going to get off my soapbox now, but that one felt, that's really important, and I'm really, really passionate about that, as I think you could probably hear just from having had personal experience and knowing other people that have had personal experience with this too. So I've done, well, nearly 25 minutes of hopefully something that made some kind of coherent sense without hopefully the need to edit this. I'm gonna stick to it. I'm not gonna edit it, guys. So on my Facebook page, I'm gonna put a link of some sort to this episode, and it's what I require, if possible, is for you to let me know what you thought about this unedited version. I don't mind what the response is. I think that I want you to be honest about it and let me know what you think, and we'll go from there, right? And if enough people say that they're happy with this, then maybe I can do it this way and do more episodes, because sitting down for 25 minutes and doing something and getting some good content out for you is a lot better than sitting down for 25 minutes and spending 3 hours editing it. So if we can do this and make it work, then I think I'd be really, really happy. And we can make this happen way more often then. So let me know your thoughts. So I'm going to sign off for today. I'm going to hopefully you enjoy the best ever week and have a lovely weekend. And I will look forward to seeing you soon. If you feel like you would like to leave me a review, please pop on and do that for me on whichever platform you prefer to listen on. And until next time, take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.